regulation after regulation.
I think there are outdated regulations that need to be
new
changed.
Government regulations, which were created to protect
the
employees.
The regulations are
$1.8 trillion.
There's a regulation that doesn't make any sense. Why do you keep
it? Is this really the best we can do?
Welcome to the Regulatory Transparency Project's fourth branch podcast series. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Welcome to the Regulatory Transparency Project's Explainer podcast series. My name is William Hild. I'm the Deputy Director of the Regulatory Transparency Project, and I'll be our host for today's podcast. We are fortunate to be joined today by Luke Wake, Senior Staff Attorney for the NFIB. He's here to speak about a relatively recent ruling by the California Supreme Court affecting independent contractors and the future of business in that state. Well, Luke, thank you for joining us today. We're excited to have you here. It sounds like there's been an interesting development in the state of California around issues of employment.
Well, employment or independent contracting is the case actually is. And the case you're referring to, I believe, is Dynamex versus Superior Court, which was handed down by the California Supreme Court actually a little over a year ago now. But it's, you know, we're continuing to see the, you know, ripple effect or the ramifications of that decision in California. And there's been some subsequent case law that's been very problematic for people who want to operate as an independent contractor and who do not want to be considered employees. They want to be independent. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to grow their own business and be their own boss.
Tell me about the facts of the Dynamex case. What was the conflict that brought this into court?
So you had a courier service, and I believe it was the Bay Area, and they had, you know, people delivering parcels and whatnot. They had treated these folks as employees, and at some point, and these are very bad facts, by the way, an example of bad facts making bad law. At some point, they decided, boy, we would save a lot of money if we, instead of treating them as employees, we treat them as independent contractors because you don't have to pay unemployment insurance and workers' compensation. You don't have to deal with all this regulation. And so that's precisely what they did. But boy, the optics of that are really bad when someone turns around and sues you and says, you've misclassified me. And of course, there's major penalties. And you know, back wages and all sorts of things that you've got to deal with when you're hit with that kind of a lawsuit if it turns out that you have misclassified. And the California Supreme Court in the Dynamex decision said that these guys had misclassified the employees. Now, they could have come to that same conclusion applying the then existing Borrello factors, which was a balancing test, but instead they gave us a new test, and they said that they failed under the new test.
So it sounds like this ruling threw some uncertainty into the area of independent contractors versus employment. Could you walk us through, you know, what was the rule beforehand, or at least what did people think was the rule beforehand, and sort of what was the question before the court in Dynamex, and then what did they decide?
The background is, you know, the rule between distinguishing independent contractors and employees is something that, you know, courts have been dealing with for a while. In fact, you go back to the 19th century, and there were cases where, and these arose in you know, personal injury and property damage cases where people were, you know, hurt or property was damaged, and someone wanted to sue. You know, and they sued a business, and they said, you know, you're at fault for this. And they would say, no, that wasn't my employee, so don't sue me. You know, that's an independent contractor. They're an independent economic actor. So, you know, their liability is their liability. It's not my liability. So you have a, you know, prime contractor, for example, and a subcontractor, right? And that became important at common law for distinguishing, you know, who bore the liability in these sort of situations. And so for that reason, the common law test has always emphasized the question about how much control you were actually exerting over the worker. The more control, the more likely they are to be considered an employee. The less control, the more likely they are to be considered an independent contractor. The old standard was called the Borrello test, the Borrello factors, and there were several of those factors. And again, it's more or less a common law test because, again, there was tremendous emphasis on the right to how much control were you actually exerting over the worker, and also whether the business had the ability to discharge the worker at will. That was very important and very much related. And it would ask several other questions, whether this is the kind of occupation that's usually done by a specialist. If so, they're more likely to be an independent contractor than not. Whether there's significant skill required. I mean, if it's going out and picking tomatoes, they were more likely to be considered an employee. Whether they were using their own tools, to the extent someone's invested in their own equipment, that's a sign that they intend to stand out to the world as an independent contractor, that they intend to be their own business. But with the sort of balancing test, again, there are some problems there on the one hand, because it does often make it a little difficult to know with definitive certainty that you're on solid ground. But on the other hand, the beauty of it is that there is a degree of flexibility there. And unfortunately, I end up talking to a lot of small business owners who are kind of wrestling with these questions, not just in California, but in other jurisdictions where there are other balancing tests. And what you see in those jurisdictions is that often when it comes to these balancing tests, there's a couple factors that can be argued both ways, and you get clever attorneys arguing both sides of the coin, right? But it's a totality of the circumstances sort of analysis. Whereas when you go to when the Dynamex decision came down, they threw out entirely this balancing approach, and they said, we're going to give you new rules, and the new rules, they call it an ABC test. Now, as things stand now, in order to have someone legitimately treated as an independent contractor in California, they have to pass what they call this ABC test. And I'll go through it. For the A prong goes to, the degree of control that you're exerting over this person. So that's basically the common law test I was talking about a second ago. You've got to pass that for one. That's your A test. And I'm going to go out of order. In ABC, you'd expect me to go to B next. But I'm going to talk about C next, because that's the next easiest one to pass. It's the B that everyone trips up on. The C prong asks, is this is this person actually operating an independent enterprise? Are they holding themselves out to the world as being in business for themselves? So they've got to pass both of those. And then they've got to pass the B prong, which again is the very problematic one. And B says that they are not an independent contractor unless you can prove, and the burden is 100% on the hiring entity, that you can prove that they work outside the usual course of your business operations. And so what that means is that if you have hired someone to provide a service, and that service is in some way integral to your business model, you risk a major lawsuit under Dynamex if that's the case.
So what are the next steps as you see them?
Well, look, there's going to be continuing litigation on this. I think you're going to see most likely, because I talk to small business owners all the time about this issue, and there's questions about, how do I know whether or not this person I would like to treat as an independent contractor is working within the usual course of my business? For example, I talk with a photographer who often works with a beauty consultant. A woman comes in, does someone's makeup, and then they take pictures. Can she treat that person as an independent contractor? Is that within her usual course of business? I mean, there would be an argument, yes, because she's providing, that's incorporated into the final package of she delivers to the customer, right? But there's going to be litigation on those sort of questions and some fleshing out of exactly what that means to be within the usual course of someone's business. But if you want to be cautious, if you think it's, you err on the side of caution and treat someone as an employee if you're not sure, right? And the other area where you're going to continue to see litigation on is whether or not this new ABC test pronounced in Dynamex is applicable only to wage and order claims under California law, or whether it also is the standard for determining whether or not someone is an employee or an independent contractor when you're dealing with, say, workers' compensation. So that's another lingering question, or unemployment insurance, for example. So those are significant questions that are left open. I think if you read the Dynamex decision, there's good grounds. And so far, the California courts have said that it's limited to wage and order claims, but that remains an issue that you're going to see litigation about. And the third area of litigation is about whether or not the Dynamex standard, the ABC test, should apply retroactively against businesses that were acting in good faith under the old rules. You know, I would argue that the old Borrello factor should apply with regard to conduct that predates Dynamex. But so far, the California courts and the Ninth Circuit have taken the other view on that and are holding those businesses liable retroactively to the newly pronounced ABC test.
Explain to me what the retroactive impact could be.
It could be catastrophic if you were working with someone who you thought was an independent contractor and you treated them as such all along. And let's, you know, and this is someone that you weren't, you know, exerting control over. This is someone who had invested in their own business. They were holding themselves out to the world as being in business for themselves. So in good faith, you treated them as an independent contractor. And you've had the rug pulled out from underneath you with this Dynamex decision because no longer can you continue to treat them as such. In fact, because it's being applied retroactively, you face the possibility of lawsuits for, you know, underpaying, you know, if they were properly, if they were actually an employee, well, boy, you might be on the hook now for paying for their, you know, overtime that they're suddenly saying. And how do you, you know, you're in a real bind when that happens, right? Because as the employer, as an employer, you have an obligation to be able to, you know, account for someone's time if they're a non-exempt employee. But if you've been treating them as an independent contractor, you do not have records of when they've been working precisely because you're making the argument to begin with that you haven't exerted that kind of control on them, haven't told them when and where to be. So you haven't had them clock in or out or anything like that. So the bottom line is, you face potential catastrophic lawsuits, not to mention probably paying attorney's fees at the end of the day, not just to your attorney, but to their attorney. And it's very problematic.
Are there any possible legislative fixes?
Well, look, California Supreme Court is, you know, their decision on this is the law of the land in California, unless and until the California legislature, you know, intervenes, right? I'm not, you know, I wasn't particularly optimistic that you were going to see any sort of legislative action here, but there has been a whole lot of what I would describe as sort of grassroots concern from, you know, organic concern for people who want to run their own business. And there's been a whole coalition about this. The I'm Independent Coalition in my organization, NFIB, has been very vocal on this. I can say that, you know, there's been a couple different proposals. One, to just, you know, eliminate Dynamex and go back to the old Borrello factors. That's gone nowhere and won't go anywhere, I don't think. Another proposal was to actually adopt the US DOL standard, the economic realities test, which I mentioned. And that would make a lot of sense because it would bring California into parity with the federal standard when we're dealing with wage and hour issues. And it just that streamlining makes immense sense rather than dealing with all these different tests. You know, why not just one? Because, you know, the law is complicated enough, right? But unfortunately, that bill has not made it out of committee. And at least at this time, who knows, maybe things will change on the ground. But the bill that seems to have some inertia is would provide some carve-outs. Now, the problem, you know, from a policy standpoint, when we're talking about carve-outs, is that, you know, it always looks like, you know, we're giving preferential treatment to specific people. And so, you know, there's some concerns, you know, about that, right? But as I understand, that bill, as it stands now, would, you know, carve out, say, real estate agents. I mean, but that's a classic example. I mean, real estate agents are, you know, have always thought themselves to be independent contractors, right? But, you know, suddenly that reality was changed with Dynamex. Doctors, another example of an industry that's been hit hard. But so far, no, you know, and there's a couple other, you know, specific carve-outs. But, I mean, we're talking like five or six, not a long list. But, you know, left out, you know, anytime you pick winners, you're necessarily picking losers or whoever you didn't pick for your team, right? So, for example, independent truckers, you know, have huge concerns here. You know, the salon folks have huge concerns here. And again, I would, you know, always, because this distinguishing between independent contractors and employees is something that comes up for all businesses. It's something that, you know, I think I'm a little concerned when I see sort of industry specific fixes for these sort of things. But,
well, Luke, on behalf of myself and the Regulatory Transparency Project, thank you so much for coming by today and illuminating this Dynamex decision and some of the effects that it may have inside the state and down the road.
Thank you.
of the Federalist Society's Regulatory Transparency Project, thanks for tuning in to the Fourth Branch Podcast. To catch every new episode when it's released, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spreaker. For the latest from RTP, please visit our website at regproject.org. That's regproject.org.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.